The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good afternoon. You are joining We the People Radio. I'm Aaron Ryan.
And Bill Cundiff.
And Bob Martin.
Because, see, we can't be we the people if we don't have all three of us. Otherwise, it's messed up. We have a serious topic, but I'll tell you what, we're not going to do it in a serious way, of course, because it's going to be a lot more fun to do it in the we the people way. We have entitled the program today Musical Chairs at the VA, and they are musical, and it is really stunning. Just by way of a little bit of setup, we are going to play for you a clip from a hearing that took place April 22nd of this year. You can find all of this online at wethepeopleradio.us. I should do our housekeeping, huh?
Yeah, do the housekeeping.
We are live, noon to 2, in California. You can join us at wethepeopleradio.us, and there is a chat link there that's up for the whole 2 hours because this is a live program in California. Then it will air again Monday in Philadelphia and New Jersey from 1 to 3. So just, you know, one little fun aside is the people that will be roasting today actually work and live, some of the main players live in Philadelphia, which is fun. We'll be speaking with Kristen Rule, who is a whistleblower at the VA in Philadelphia. She was at the hearing where this whole thing started. And a lot of times the Inspector General is who stands in between Congress and an agency. Congress makes laws, agency creates the regulations, blah, 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 carries them out. But they are executive branch folks. So that's why Congress can't hire them or fire them. All we can do is control their funding. Well, when it comes to the VA, if you talk about cutting funding to, you know, keep an agency on track or punish them for, you know, wasting money or whatever, then it's seen as punishing the veterans. And that's probably how the VA would carry that out anyway, so I guess it's probably true. So Congress really is kind of hogtied there. They can't really cut their funding. But they can certainly send in the Inspector General and do oversight. Lots of times the Inspector General reports come out, and regardless of what they found, it basically says, oh, they needed more training and more oversight, blah, 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 blah. And it sounds like, you know, bureaucratic nothingness. The report that came out September 28th that I have linked on the site for you is Veterans Benefits Administration Administrative Investigation, and it's entitled Inappropriate Use of Position and Misuse of Relocation Program and Incentives. Doesn't sound, you know, too exciting, but it involves like $1.8 million.
Was there misdoing going on?
well, you just wait 2 hours and then you make your own mind up. This report's like 39 pages, I guess, with the addendums. And it's, seriously, it's good reading. You see this corruption, this little criminal enterprise they have going on. It's not really so little at the top levels of management. Starts with the undersecretary and kind of rolls down through management. 9 times out of 10, the problems at VA don't involve the rank and file. They involve management. And a lot of times they kind of get away with it because, well, you can't bust them on some of the things. This, I do believe, is going to be in the crosshairs. There will be another hearing on October 21st, 10 something in the morning, 10:30, I think Kristen said. And that just, you know, in a couple of weeks. So if you're interested in that, reminder, the hearing that we're going to play this clip from that started this investigation happened on April 22nd this year. The bad part was it was the same day as the Baltimore riots or whatever started, and so that preempted everything on C-SPAN. And so these hearings really never aired. But anyway, they're online. We've got links for you. And Bob's going to play the beginning so you can see the cast. You can hear the cast of characters and who it is we're dealing with. I think you'll find it interesting.
I are prepared to answer your questions.
Thank you very much, Mr. Pummel. Thank you, Ms. Holliday, for your testimony. Mr. Pummel, as you know, this committee is very interested in VA's decision to pay out more than $300,000 to move Ms. Rubens from the D.C. metro area to Philadelphia. As I read in a letter that I received from Ms. Hickey, that this was actually your recommendation. First thing I want to know is I was reading an Office of Personnel Management guidance. It says that it can be used if the agency determines that the position is likely to be difficult to fill in the absence of using this incentive. It seems to me that Philadelphia would not be one of those areas that would be difficult to fill. So could you very quickly tell me why this program was needed to be used?
Philadelphia is one of our largest and most difficult regional offices. It is tough to fill. The previous RO director that we had in there, it took us almost 6 months to find somebody that was willing to go in there and do the job. When we realized that we're having problems in Philadelphia, one of the first names that came up was Ms. Rubens, and we knew it was going to be tough to get her to go into Philadelphia and try to fix the situation for her.
Could you tell me what types of advertising or attempts did you make before the decision to move Ms. Rubens to that position?
We did not advertise that position. We just went through the RO director.
Were any other employees encouraged to apply?
No, they were not.
Okay. What point was it clear to you that the AVO needed to be offered in order to fill the position?
When the previous director was in there was from a senior executive from another agency in the federal government.
Did that individual get the AVO to move?
No, he did not.
Okay.
We attempted to bring in an executive from another agency to fix some of the problems there, thinking that some outside blood would help us a little bit. We realized very quickly that it was just too complex. There was too much going on.
Okay, thank you.
We needed
Ms.
one
Rubens,
of our most senior people.
Ms. Rubens, did you sign a written statement that you would not accept a transfer unless the relocation expenses were authorized?
Yes, I did.
And why was that?
The RELO package that VA has is offered in some instances, and because it was offered to me and I thought it beneficial to help me ease that transition from one office in one city to another in an effort to be there as quickly as possible.
And you never intended to go to Philadelphia at any time in your career?
I would tell you that I had been in Washington for a number of years. If I were to leave Washington, it was to take on an office that had a large, complex operation. Philadelphia fit that bill.
And so that was the reason that you left. You went to Philadelphia because you wanted to go to a large, complex office, and that fit the bill that was in your career path.
Sir, at that time it was an option, and there was a discussion about whether or not I would be able to meet the needs of the regional office. And I felt like and still feel like I am capable of doing that.
Are you eligible for retirement?
No, sir, I'm not.
How long before you can retire?
Several years.
One, two, three, four? Do you know? How about two? Is that close?
I think it's a little bit more than two, but less than five.
Okay. Do you have any family members that live close by?
I do.
And who might that be?
My sister, my mother, nephews.
How close?
Wilmington. I grew up in Delaware.
28 minutes. Close?
It depends on how you go and what time of day, sir.
So you did not want to move unless you got a $300,000-plus relocation package to be close to your mother and your family?
No, sir, that's not the issue.
But you had to get this relocation package to be close to your family?
It was part of a benefit program that VA offers to ensure transition is as quick and as smooth as possible to an office that needed leadership.
And so you would not have moved close to your mother had you not gotten this package?
I don't know that, sir.
I guarantee you.
Double stripe, it's on. Let's go!
Every team has pregame rituals.
Come on, guys. Come on. Let's go.
Now a word from our sponsor.
The Ustream just cut a commercial. Right, just getting to the good part,
the
too.
Good part.
Dang it. Man. You know, I just played that at home. It was fine. No commercial came up. That's what you get with free video online. Anyway,
we'll bring it back momentarily.
All right. So the cast of characters you were listening to, it was Jeff Miller, chairman of the Veterans Affairs Committee. And he started by questioning Danny Pummel, who works in Washington, D.C. for the undersecretary. And the person who was unable to decide whether or not she would have moved closer to her mother without $300,000, didn't know when she retires. That's Diana Rubens. And here we're back.
Congressman, if I could interject.
No, sir, I'm talking to Ms. Rubens. Thank you. Had you ever told anybody prior to this being decided that you had a desire to go to Philadelphia?
When the director before the director I replaced retired, I had expressed an interest in Philadelphia.
Would you have gone then without getting the $300,000 relocation package?
I can't answer that, sir. I don't know what I would or wouldn't have done many years ago. Off the top of my head, I'm not sure. Three to five years ago.
So you did sign a written statement, basically. So was this a Diana Rubens move, or was this a management-directed move?
I don't understand the question.
Either you made the decision to go to Philadelphia or management said you needed to go to Philadelphia.
I could not have reassigned myself to Philadelphia.
Did the management ask you to go to Philadelphia or did you choose to go to Philadelphia?
I'm not sure how to answer that question.
How did you make a decision to decide to go to Philadelphia? You just woke up one morning and decided to move to Philadelphia, or did management say you needed to go fix the problems at Philadelphia?
There were discussions with my leadership.
Did management tell you it was a management decision, or did you make the decision? It's one or the other.
I guess I'm just not understanding the question. It was not a directed reassignment?
It was not a directed reassignment.
It was not a directed, based on performance or anything else, reassignment. There was a leadership need in Philadelphia. There was a discussion about whether or not I would go. And
you told him you would not go unless you got the relocation package.
As part of the process for accepting a relocation, you have to choose one of those options on that document. I opted to avail myself of a program for relocation to ensure I could make that move as expeditiously as possible.
So you couldn't have moved quickly without $300,000 relocation package? That's okay. Ms. Brown?
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I just want you to know I'm a little uncomfortable with this line of questioning. I guess I want to know something about your skill sets, because I understand there are multiplicity of problems in Philadelphia.
Yeah,
okay.
Well, she's very skilled at duping people out of a lot of money.
So enter the Democrats at the end. So after that entire thing, you flip to the you flip to the top ranking Democrat on the committee, and she's like, "Well, I'm uncomfortable with this." Now, do you have a clue why, like, nobody gets hung out to dry? I thought that was a pretty good illustration. So let's see. Let's take a really quick break.
Yeah, because the best is yet to come.
Because, yes, the best is yet to come. And we want to introduce Kristen, who has been with us before. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us, and you will see at the top of the page a tab that says Veterans. We've tried to coalesce all the programs that we've done relating to veteran issues on that, and you know, some of them are actually with Kristen and with Ken. Ken was sick today, so he couldn't come on. But they are in that Philadelphia office and been tracking this all the way along. Kristen was actually a whistleblower at the hearing on the 22nd when all of this stuff first came out.
Oh.
Hey, there we go. Talked ourselves right up to the break. We'll see you in 2 minutes. Joining We the People Radio. Online, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them? But good. They want you all body and soul. Then it's just your body. Then they go. What shall we do about them?
Just keep trying. talking mama, I like that sound. It goes so easy with that rain falling down. I think a tropical vacation this year might be the answer to this hillbilly fear. And voila, an American dream. Yeah, we can travel, girl, without any means. When it's as easy as closing your eyes and dream Jamaica is a big neon sign.
Well, there you go. If you're hauling down $180,000 to do a $120,000 job.
Yeah, go buy a little package of those umbrellas and get ready to stuff them in your drink.
Pocket that extra $60,000 and go on vacation. That's kind of the topic here because Congress has eliminated the senior executive service. When you see in the report SES, that's senior executive service. And those guys are prohibited from getting bonuses because there's a huge backlog. Regardless of their cheery little memos that come out that say that most of it's gone.
Yeah, but you know, when you think like a criminal, you can always figure out a way to bilk the system, you know?
Isn't that great? And if you can get other people to go along with you.
Yeah, get it all convoluted and get all kinds of higher-ups involved, maybe somebody will cover for you.
Exactly.
Until they get busted.
Enter Kristen.
Yes.
So, Kristen, how's life in Philadelphia? And might tell folks a little bit about yourself and how you got involved in this disaster, in case they haven't heard the previous shows. We've got Kristen in the cone of silence. Yes, we did, but she's back now. Hey, Kristen.
Hello?
Hey, there you go. Okay, so give folks a little bit of background. How'd you get involved with the VA situation here?
I haven't been able to hear the stuff before, just joining now. It wasn't playing.
Oh, that's not fun. Well, we just played the hearing clip that I told you we were going to use, where Diana Rubens couldn't figure out how she got to Philly and big surprise and how many years she had to retirement. That was confusing too. There's something playing in the background of your thing, or we're getting some weird feedback.
I believe that's Kristen's computer.
Maybe it's on a little.
Wait, hold on.
Sounds of a struggle.
Sounds of a struggle. Oh, that's much
better?
Much better.
Oh, there you go. Because there was...
It's back.
He's back. Something's kind of making little squawking noises in the back. Anyway, now we have cars. Okay, so how long have you been at the VA?
I have been at the VA 8 years. And I started processing claims there about 8 years ago and ended up on the quality team, checking the claims, and it's been an interesting ride the whole time.
Yeah, it's been a really interesting ride for you. And, okay, so we're going to... The way I get updates on these Inspector General reports, but you texted me before I actually even got my email update. When this report came out last week, September 28th, on the inappropriate use of position and misuse of relocation program incentives, that was just a very good read. But your whole community learned about it because this showed up on the news, right?
Yeah, it was on the front page of the Philadelphia Inquirer in the newspaper.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
And yeah, I know it was on the news in St. Paul, but I mean there was almost 100 newspaper articles on it since it happened. So pretty much everybody who worked there found out about it pretty fast.
Nice, and there we do have a nice news clip from. Let's see, it looks like your Channel 5 back there in St. Paul. We were going to play that just because it's a pretty good overview of what's going on. And I think I might have Bob call you back because we got a funky connection here.
Yeah, let's go ahead and play that clip.
So we're going to zoom in on the news and hear an overview of this thing, and then we'll come right back with Kristen.
By engineering a transfer of the man who used to hold her job.
The VA's inspector general says it sure looks that way. This is causing outrage for one Minnesota congressman who also happens to be a military veteran. And our political reporter Tom Hauser is here with more on the situation, Tom.
And they're taking a look throughout government to see how often this is happening. This inspector general's report says Kimberly Graves used her position for, quote, personal and financial benefit. She's accused of helping create a vacancy for a job here in the Twin Cities so she could then take that job. It could result in criminal charges.
Can I just ask you a couple questions?
The director of the Veterans Benefits Administration office in St. Paul wouldn't comment about the possibility of criminal charges against her.
You can contact our Office of Public Affairs.
Okay, and we've tried that, but do you have any comment?
The Office of Public Affairs will respond to you. Thank you.
According to this report from the VA Inspector General, Kimberly Graves engineered her own transfer from an East Coast office of the VA here to St. Paul. In her job on the East Coast, she had a lot more responsibility, overseeing 16 regional offices in 14 states. Here in St. Paul, she oversees just one office, but she kept the same rate of pay. Despite far fewer responsibilities, Graves retained her annual pay of nearly $174,000. She was also paid more than $129,000 in relocation expenses.
This is outrageous that it appears like it was manipulated, creating positions that weren't really true to try and justify going around a ban we put on bonuses.
Congressman Tim Walz says a whistleblower brought attention to this. In Graves' case, the inspector general says she influenced the transfer of the former St. Paul VA director to Baltimore so she could get his job here, along with a hefty relocation expense paid for by taxpayers.
Is this taking away services for veterans by this type of thing happening? Are we spending taxpayer money on things that aren't providing quality care for veterans? So they have every right to be outraged.
The Graves case came to light as the result of a similar case involving the VA director in Philadelphia. Diana Rubin kept her $181,000 salary and received $274,000 in relocation expenses. Both cases will be considered for criminal prosecution, and the VA says they're examining all relocation and incentive procedures and that they are cooperating with the Inspector General and any other federal agencies that get involved.
I think that's the thing that most regular folks are going to have a hard time understanding, $129,000 in moving or relocation expenses.
And involving three different offices, three different people, all with big expenses, all paid for by taxpayers.
And the investigation is ongoing.
Exactly.
All right, Tom Hauser, thanks.
Okay. So, kind of a hot seat there in Philadelphia.
Yeah,
for Ms.
It's getting some play.
For Ms. Rubens.
Doesn't look good.
So, Kristen, are people talking about it at the regional office?
Oh, wait a minute. Okay. Try it now.
Back to the cone of silence. Okay, with us now?
Kristen?
Yeah.
Oh, hey, there you go. So is this a topic of conversation at work?
Actually, I currently work from home, so I don't get to hear the cubicle talk, but the day that it happened, I got probably 50 text messages all about it. So I do believe it's a pretty big topic of conversation at work.
Oh, my gosh. Well, this whole thing, I mean, this whole report, it's just, you know, she's reassigned from Deputy Undersecretary for Field Operations to the Director of the Philadelphia Regional Office, which doesn't, it kind of sounds like mumbo jumbo a little bit, but as Deputy Undersecretary, she's overseeing, what, 58 different regional offices?
Yeah, 50-something. And then in our building, she just oversees one.
Yeah, and you had said that she doesn't even really do that because you have a help team in there?
Yeah, she's the director, and then she'll have two assistant directors, but one of those positions is vacant because that was Lucy Philippov, and she is on administrative leave currently.
She was the psychic parties, right?
Yeah, the organizer of the psychic party. So
that was a different
then
show.
When all these, after the last hearings and things like that, they brought in this help team, which were people from all over the country that were very knowledgeable and, you know how to manage facilities, and they brought them in to help get Philly back on track and to teach us, you know, basically to come help fix the place. So there were so many different people in the building at that time that, you know, she had a lot of help managing Philadelphia.
But the funny part is she was supposedly going there to sort it all out.
Yeah, I mean, she was. That's why they say they brought her here, because she was one of the highest qualified VA executives, and they brought her to fix Philadelphia because we were having problems prior to her getting here. But I don't know. It's just been an interesting year.
Yes, I'm sure it has been. they in the summary, in the initial summary of this report, it it talks about, this is the Inspector General's wording, as part of our assessment of the VA's relocation expense program, that's that PCS that you keep hearing about, for folks who don't speak VA bureaucraties, we reviewed records related to the Veterans Benefits Administration reassignment of seven grade 15 employees who were promoted to senior executive service positions and 15 senior executive service employees who moved to different senior positions in fiscal years 2013, 14, and 15. And again, the Inspector General's wording, VBA management used moves of senior executives as a method to justify annual salary increases and used VA's relocation expense program to pay moving expenses for those employees. Annual salary increases totaled about $321,000 and relocation expenses were $1.3 million. They paid an additional $140,000 in unjustified relocation incentives and in total spent about $1.8 million on the reassignments. I mean, how crazy is that?
Yeah, especially when we have printers in the building that don't have toner and, you know, we're lacking different supplies that we need, but then they're spending money on all of this kind of stuff.
Well, I know that they asked Pummel and Hickey, they asked both of them if they thought, they interviewed Mr. Pummel on May 13th of this year, asked whether salary increases and relocation incentives were a way to get around pay freezes and bans on performance. Mr. Pummel said, I would say that's probably true. What the heck? This is like the gang that can't shoot straight. I mean, obviously not criminal masterminds here. They interviewed Ms. Hickey, who's the undersecretary, asked whether the increases were a way to get around pay freezes. Her answer is even funnier because I love hearing her answers. They make no sense at all. She says they were about level-setting pay. She stated further, quote, it was much more about resetting, from my perspective, base pay to get everybody, get the ends of the bands into more of a more even, more fair model. It's like, what is that?
I didn't understand what she was talking about.
I don't think she understands what she's talking about.
I feel like in this whole situation, when I read that report, it just seems that, I mean, it doesn't seem like she knew a lot about these expenses I'm just wondering if she asked questions about this kind of stuff because it's a lot of money.
Well, yeah, she did the same thing with Oakland, though, when they asked her about the 13,184 claims that were hanging out, the informal claims. She gave no fewer than two different explanations that were completely different, that they were duplicates and they were just pieces of paper, I think were her two choices. And the rest of them gave different answers. They had like five different answers. So these guys do this on a regular basis, just come up with nonsense.
Yeah, I mean, it's gotten to the point, I guess, a lot of the people at the top, they're probably forced due to the different workloads and priorities. They have to rely on the people under them to tell them the truth. And in some of these situations, just from reading these reports, it appears to me that the people underneath them are letting them down.
Yeah, kind of. Except for the fact that they keep them employed, so they will continue to let them down. I don't know.
Yeah, that's the interesting part. Well, they are both still employed.
Of course.
So far, but I don't know.
Well, you've got Graves, who was the director of the Eastern Area Office. Now she's responsible for just the St. Paul Regional Office. And let's see, she got $129,000 and change for her move. And the Inspector General says, we determined that Ms. Graves also inappropriately used her position of authority for personal and financial benefit when she participated personally and substantially in creating the vacancy and then volunteering for the vacancy.
Sounds like it was pretty hard to fill.
It was hard to fill. Okay, yeah. You move over. I'll move over. Yeah. He'll move over.
Let's not advertise this spot. Let's not tell anybody else about it. And maybe I can get it.
And the way, it just, you couldn't get away with this in the real world, actually. This would never work because, well, your company would go broke. They used, let's see, Ms. Rubens and Ms. Graves' reassignments resulted in a significant decrease in job responsibilities, yet both retained their annual salaries at $181,000 for Rubens and $173,900, so basically $174,000 for Graves. Based upon federal regulations, which obviously need to be reviewed, we determined VA could not reduce their annual salaries upon reassignment despite the decrease in the scope of their work. Crazy is that.
See, there I think there needs to be. I mean, they have to, if this is something that's going to happen, and I'm wondering if it happens in other agencies as well,
well yeah.
There should be some sort of rule or law that if you're going to reassign somebody, that their duties would have to be comparable. Because if you go from doing 56 offices or 58 or however many to one, you know, and that there's nothing that prevents this, that's, you know, yeah. I can see how that can be abused.
And that's obviously a pay increase. I mean, when you...
Well, that's a way of making, you know, really generating a bonus for yourself because you've taken a what should be a lower-paying job, well, and you've kept your previous pay.
Exactly. And it is a lower-paying job. I mean, they in this report, it has their pay scales according or pay rates according to their positions, and they have three different, they call band 1, band 2, and band 3. And she went from a band 1 pay schedule to a band 3, which is actually about, ballpark, about $20,000 less pay on the high end, and she retained the maximum pay for the band 1. So, I mean, under their own rules,
yeah,
she gets to keep her higher pay, and I don't know how they, I mean, gosh, I'd like to be able to do that.
But see, a lot of this is supposed to be for hardship. So if the director of the Philadelphia office left and they searched and searched and searched and, you know, a year goes by and they still can't get anybody to go there.
Well, that's different.
Right.
But you can't create the hardship and then say, well, the good is my heart. I'm going to go ahead and volunteer for this because I am the only qualified person. And by the way, the guy that had the job before who didn't really want to leave it, he's out too.
I know. I made him leave.
Made him move.
Well,
and that's a whole other story.
The one line that I really liked when I saw this report initially is... at the end of page 2, the VA or the Inspector General says, we made criminal referrals to the U.S. Attorney's Office, District of Columbia, regarding official actions orchestrated by Ms. Rubens and Ms. Graves. You very rarely see the words criminal action in these. Formal discussions regarding prosecutorial merit are pending. They provided 12 recommendations to VA to increase oversight of this program and determine appropriate administrative actions, blah, 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 against senior VA officials. But I like the criminal charges part. I was kind of excited about that.
Okay. The thing that bothers me, though, is had they not gotten these emails, they would not have known. You know, then they would have probably come back and said that the expenses were legal on its face. And, you know, the decrease per law in salary is legal. And this would have been okay. Like, the only reason, in my opinion, from reading this report, it appears that they found anything wrong with any of this was because of the emails where they found the intent and, you know, the what they were really doing behind the scenes. And it's a shame because in a lot of situations where if you said, oh, I think the Eastern Area director isn't picking me for a job, I think she's picking her friends, okay, you would never be able to really prove that unless you got into their email account. So to me, it's interesting that when the Inspector General actually goes in and reads their email account, what they found, and it makes me wonder, you know, when a lot of people say, oh, I didn't get a fair chance at this, or, you know, there's so much cronyism in the VA, it's hard to get selected for a job unless you're in the crowd, you know, when I read this report, it made me wonder if, you know, there's more truth to that than they're willing to admit.
Oh, yeah, and this report does, I mean, I really would encourage people to go read this. I mean, typically, you know, go read a government report, that's something you do because you have insomnia.
Oh, yeah.
And you're out of sleeping
this
pills.
This one here you won't put down.
this one
really
it was fun
does a number on
it. It was
them.
Fun listening to Bill read it. He's like, what? Did you see
oh,
this
Oh, yeah.
One?
My highlighter ran out of ink.
I know. I gave him a highlighter. I'm like, you're going to want this. We need to take a really quick break, and we're going to come back with Kristen and explore some more of the Inspector General's report that just came out September the 28th on inappropriate use of position and misuse of relocation program and incentives. And in case you're wondering why veterans' claims aren't being processed in a timely fashion, it might be due to the musical chairs going on at the VA. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. We will be right back.
I hear something saying...
Well, don't you know?
That's the sound of the men working on the chain gang. That's the sound of the men working on the chain gang.
Obvious song choice.
Well, I tell you.
We had so many song options. Seriously, I was driving down the highway at, like, I don't know, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, listening to Satellite, and these songs just kept coming on. I couldn't believe it. I was a dangerous driver, but I was the only one on the road, so as long as there were no deer, I was good. But I was jotting all these down because, well.
Well, I'll tell you what.
If
you read this report, I mean, there's just so many little tidbits in here. But it sounds like the curtain's coming down on some of these folks, and it's going all the way to the top. Here on page 17, it says a couple of the recommendations that came out of this report. It says we recommend the deputy secretary consult with the Office of General Counsel to determine whether bills of collection should be issued to recover unjustified relocation expenses paid by the Veterans Administration for senior executive reassignments. Because I mean that program's just totally getting abused. So they could be getting a big fat bill to repay some of that stuff. And then the other one that I thought was interesting was. They want to refer to the general counsel to determine whether action should be taken to hold the appropriate senior officials accountable for processing and approving payments of unjustified relocation incentive payments. So that goes beyond Rubens, and I mean that goes right to the top of who signed off on these expenses. I don't know. I think if nothing else, it's going to make this whole system get kind of revamped a little bit, but I think criminal charges should be, or repayment or something ought to be laid on these folks, because, I mean, that's ridiculous.
Well, how many times would you have to do this before, you know, people thought twice? What do you think, Kristen? You think if these guys really got bumped down, do you think that it would slow this kind of thing down just based on, I mean, you deal with the culture at VA?
I think the average employee in the VA will say, nothing's ever going to happen to these people. Like, how many things, you know, do we have to hear about in the news before something actually happens? There's no accountability. So I think they definitely need some accountability, whether it be with this situation or any of the other ones that are pending, because people need to realize there's some people that work there, and they've worked there a very long time, and they probably shouldn't be in the jobs that they're in, but they're probably also not going to be leaving anytime soon. So for those kind of people that, you know, maybe don't have the morals and the ethics that they need to be in charge, at least if they see something happen to somebody, they might think twice about doing it themselves. So well, I feel like there has to be a lesson learned, whether it's with this situation or any of the others, to show that you have to do the right thing, or at least try to do the right thing, or, you know, this place is going to run crazy.
Well, you're absolutely right.
Employees is a very weird place. I mean, I've been out of the building about 3 weeks. And I will say it's been the best 3 weeks of my life, of my work life, because it's just a weird place to go. You go into this place and you think about, okay, our leadership team, and they're, half of them are missing from, you know, we have an assistant director position vacant. Our pension center manager hasn't been there since the report about the party came out, and we've had four different ones come in since. So, it's not a very stable place. We have people in other positions that are acting that have been brought up from their jobs to help fill in some slots. Everything's always changing. There's no consistency, and the employees are kind of getting sick of it because it's just
a strange place to work, and there, the office is in the newspaper probably once every few weeks, and it's always something really crazy. And there's been, this will be the fourth congressional hearing about our office coming up in October. So if you work there, you know, it's a weird place to be.
Well, is anybody even, I mean, I know this sounds bad, but is anybody even supervising the employees with all this craziness going on with the musical chairs in the top ranks?
Yeah, I mean, you know, for the most part, it hasn't, anything that's happened in this whole scandal hasn't touched the level of the direct supervisors, as in the, you know, there's like groups of employees that are supervised by what they call a coach and an assistant coach. It hasn't really come down to that level. It's mainly been with our upper management. So people, the problem is usually if you're a supervisor or you're a new supervisor and you're not sure, you need someone to ask. And in our building, there's not that many people left to ask because, you know, a lot of our leaders aren't there or are under investigation or something's going on, where you kind of run out of people. If you want to do the right thing, you need to find someone who knows what the right thing is. And in the last few reports that have come out, whether it be the people didn't know, you know, with the fast letter, they said they didn't understand it, or we have this report where the IG seems to think these things were possibly intentional. So whether it's you don't know what you're doing or you're doing things wrong on purpose, that's still not a good person to go ask the question to. So we're running out of those kind of people that are left in the building.
Well, just to support what you're saying, in this report, they talk about Robert McKendrick, who was the director of the Philadelphia office. He was hired in March of 2012 as the director, and in an April 2015 interview, he told the IG that he was the director of the Federal Security Officers at LaGuardia Airport and Transportation Security Administration prior to joining VA. And they determined that he was, he did not have prior VA experience at the time he was hired in 2012. And so that's just that gives you kind of a look at who's at the top. And you're right. How can you go to somebody like that and expect results when they can't possibly understand the system or know how it works? When, I mean, gosh, the guy came from a security position at an airport. He doesn't know anything about the VA system.
Yeah, is that common?
Well, and he was in charge when we started reporting those duplicate records. So the problem was he has probably never processed a VA claim in his life.
Right.
The closest he might have to the VA is that he might have, maybe, I don't know what his, you know, background is, but I know he is a veteran, so maybe he's applied for a claim before, but it's a lot different when you're trying to explain to somebody a computer program that's not working and tax consequences and wasted money, and they just showed up here and they've never, you know, done this job in their whole life. But in the VA, in defense of the VA on this one, we were very happy when we started seeing that they were bringing someone else in from the outside, because there is a lot of cronyism and nepotism in different offices at the VA. We were very happy to see an outsider come in, where we thought if we had a problem and we told him or her about the problem, they might take it a lot more serious because they're not, you know, already entrenched with this bureaucracy that's going on. So we were excited, and I did work with him on many occasions, and I did think he was a good guy. And I do think he came in there and he was trying to do the right thing when he first got there. It's just that he was the outsider. Everybody else had been working together for many years and they had a plan for how they wanted things to work. And if I had to guess, it was probably him against, you know, his idea of what he thought was right to do versus all these other people that have been working there for so long. And if he had to go to a meeting with a top VA official or something, I would think he'd need one of these people under him to help him because he doesn't know much about the VA.
Well,
so he had to rely on these people so much that it wouldn't be a good idea not to get along with them.
And just to support what you're saying, that probably explains why he got stepped on so hard on this whole transfer thing. I mean, they just blew him out of there and stuck him in another office that he really didn't want to go to, it sounds like in this report. But again, with the lack of experience on how the whole system worked, it just looks to me like he got railroaded.
Well, the thing, I mean, from an employee standpoint, which, you know, we never really know what's going on. We're limited to what we read in the news or what we read in these reports. Like, it's not like they get everybody together and have a meeting about this stuff.
Sure.
The topic right now is like a don't talk about it type topic. from what people are saying in the office. Like, some people are scared to talk about it, other people don't know what's going on. But, you know, from what it looks like as an employee, he was our director one day, and then he left. Okay, he didn't say, like, goodbye. I didn't see an email that went out that said, like, goodbye, employees, you know, it's been nice working with you. Like, he sort of just disappeared. And from an employee standpoint, that was a weird thing. Like, this guy came in, and he was, you know, pledged to do all these things and had this mission statement, and we were excited to see a new face, and then one day he just literally disappeared without warning.
They're there, and then they're not. We need to take one really quick break here before the top of the hour. We got a little behind with our video shenanigans. Kristen will be here the second hour, too, and we'll be digging more into this. So don't worry. We're not cutting you out of any good news today. You can find all this information online at wethepeopleradio.us. We'll be right back.
Yesterday, all my troubles seem so far away. Now it looks as though they're here to stay. Oh, I believe in yesterday. Suddenly, I'm not half the man I used to be. There's a shadow hanging over me. Oh, yesterday came suddenly.
When it all goes crazy and the thrill is gone, the days get rainy and the nights get long, when you get that feeling you were born to, staring at your ceiling and thinking of your blues. When there's so much trouble that you wanna cry, the world has crumbled and you don't know why. When your hopes are fading and they can't be found,
your troubles are right.
Waiting to let you down.
Hey, your friends have let you down. Yeah. Yeah, look at that. Mr. Pummel, he went ahead and he told them that they probably were trying to scam salary increases and bonuses. I tell you what, I haven't heard that song in years, and kind of surprised me how perfect it was. Call it the VA management theme song. So Kristen, what other stuff in this report were you... What else do you think we ought to hit in this before the top of the hour, or maybe give people a sneak preview into the next hour? No pressure. Hey, come on, you've got 39 pages to work with, right?
What did you say?
I said you got 39 pages to work with.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the interesting thing to me was when I looked at the chart to see all the people that were moved in the last 2 years, how much of a percentage of a salary increase he got, or the incentives that are paid. The one guy, I think he said he got $40,000 to move, you know, like a bonus to actually move. And to me, that kind of stuff where, you know, they're saying that they're talking about furloughs. You know, we got all the notices about furloughs and the government not coming up with a budget and not having enough money to operate. And then you see these huge amounts of money. And this is only looking at 2 years. Who knows what's been going on before that?
Well, it's if you read this report on page 28, they give a very nice little list of all the employees in 2014 and 2015 who did transfers and got pay increases, and it shows the percentage of increase. I mean, some of these are pretty substantial.
18% increases.
No, I got one here that's 27,000 a year increase, and that was Antoine Waller. He took a transfer, went from 139,000 a year to 167,000 a year, and gosh,
he's the person. That's the person though that Kim Graves took the position from.
Yeah. Yeah, so he was in that cascading maneuvering. All right, we're coming
back.
What
did it really cost the taxpayers for all this maneuvering?
No kidding.
Not just her.
If you are by your computer, you should go to wethepeopleradio.us and click on this report, because it's really kind of worth following along. We'll be right back with Kristen Ruhl for a second hour.
This list.